Thank you all for joining us for our latest podcast episode with Daniel Keller. He is the co-founder of Flux, which is a decentralized Web3 cloud infrastructure. Daniel, thank you for joining us today. I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. How's your week going?
It's going great, man. And thanks for having me on. Big fan of what you guys do. It's nice to finally get on here and chat a little bit about blockchain and Web3 and Flux and whatever else you come up with.
Absolutely. Well, let's get started with a statement you made in a recent interview saying that Flux is the best kept secret in the blockchain space. Care to explain why?
Yeah, I mean, historically, up to this point, you know, blockchain has been mostly speculatory. So people have kind of came in, retail investors and so on and so forth, with the premise of number go up, right? So the predominant amount of development dollars that came into the ecosystems were built around marketing, PR, and, you know, creating this FOMO or frothiness that comes with blockchain. Flux wanted to be completely different from that. So we put no money into our marketing and PR for a very long time. As a matter of fact, this year is the first year, and we're 6 years old, that we started to put some focus on the project. And I think that's kind of like, as these products mature and start to deliver, you'll start to see like, what are the sayers and what are the doers? And Flux is a doer. So we made a very concerted effort to not create undue and unnecessary attention around the product. We wanted to build the product out and have it a fully functional ecosystem prior to, you know, starting to engage people in retail and business and enterprise and so on and so forth. So a little bit different than what everybody else has done, because we've been very thoughtful about that process, but that really comes down from our community all the way up through the co-founders across the board. So to us, if we build a product and we create this FOMO or this frothiness around it, and the product doesn't function like it's supposed to, they'll come one time, but then they won't return. So we want to make sure people come in and say, hey, these guys are actually delivering real world solutions, a lot of them, to people, so that, you know, blockchain can truly scale appropriately.
Awesome. And many are familiar with Amazon's AWS service. And since it's so similar, maybe we should start there. You know, how does Flux compare with AWS?
Yeah, you've actually heard this quite a bit from different crypto projects that say, hey, we want to be the next AWS on the blockchain. Matter of fact, Coinbase and Buffalo Trails or whatever that they bought out, that was their whole premise. In reality, they're not really, because if you're developing your infrastructure and you're deploying it on AWS, you're not DeFi, you're not decentralized, you're not fintech, you're not whatever it is that you put behind it. So Flux is different because we offer the same products and services, but we've created a peer-to-peer model, and Flux acts as the intermediate between the two. So in Bitcoin, you have the people that need financial services and the people that want to provide financial services, and they work together peer-to-peer symbiotically, right? With Flux, we have people that have compute resources and people that need compute resources, and we connect those peer-to-peer so that they can basically create a virtual marketplace for compute. What that does is it breaks down the oligarchy of the Amazons, the Googles, and so on and so forth, who've price controlled compute resources and also stifled innovation, all under the guise of providing a higher level of service. And what Flux does is, because it's community based, 13,000 plus nodes all over the world globally, enterprise infrastructure, it allows people to deploy their infrastructure completely decentralized. So if SushiSwap or any of the other DEX models are running their infrastructure on a AWS or Microsoft Azure or Google platform, they're not a DEX. But if you deploy that on Flux, you now have, and you can even have load balancing between the two, but you become decentralized because these products are ran globally. They're basically unfettered, can't censor them. That's exactly where we need to be overall.
Let's say that there's a big drive for this. Obviously, this is very nascent, but wouldn't it make sense for someone like Amazon to see that growth, the new possibilities? Maybe they're losing considerable market share at this point. Couldn't they just copy what you're doing and leverage their existing name recognition to quickly get back in the game?
They could, and they've tried. They actually built out a decentralized network. Amazon did. I mean, it didn't take off because it's not proper. Possible, but here's the issue. It destroys their business model. You know, 60% of revenue for Amazon comes from AWS, and part of that is the price control and the fixing of the of said price controls. Other products can start to deviate from that, but they still have a severe issue, and that's the capital overhead. So deployment of infra, and you know, colo data centers, so on and so forth. We don't have that with Flux. We have no, we're completely unfettered in terms of how we develop out. And that really kind of speaks to a different generation of how we view technology projects. You know, what makes Uber so popular? The cab companies didn't adopt Uber. They didn't all become Uber. There's still cab companies and they're fighting Uber along the way. But Uber changed that entire paradigm. Airbnb is the largest hotel chain in the world, and nobody owns, you know, well, there are the company Airbnb, but essentially they're providers that are providing the resources. And I think it's the same way for us from a technological standpoint. We need to step back out of our comfort zone and look at how we want to advance these things moving forward. So Flux brings a couple really good things to the table. Cost containment. We can provide you with the same level of IT services and infrastructure that you've grown up at a fraction of the cost. Scalability. We're able to scale on demand. So there's, you know, and redundancy. So companies that didn't have a disaster recovery policy all of a sudden get three instances deployed all over the world globally at a fraction of what they would pay for AWS. So the answer to your question is, I think they'll try, but the problem is it just really does decimate their business model. So I think they're going to go the exact opposite way. I think you're going to see them attack us directly from, you know, as a competitor. I will tell you this, we work with OVH, we work with Lumen, we have other products that we work with. These are all Web3 or Web2 providers looking to partner into Web3. And Amazon may end up doing the same thing down the road. You know, I could see a world where Flux services are provided to AWS clients who already have a Web2 infra and they want to scale or use AI with a proof of use of work model. And I think you absolutely could see that deployed inside of an Amazon marketplace. And the only rule that the Flux community has, because we're a completely open source decentralized product, is you don't change our ethos, because our ethos is don't be evil again, and we won't be evil again. So as long as we have partners that want to deploy the product as it is in a decentralized manner, and, you know, I'm 100% behind working with anyone.
Gotcha. And what are some interesting things people are doing on Flux right now that couldn't have been done before?
Well, I think what you're seeing is you always have an early use case of adoption, and they're mostly around blockchain. Why? It's 24/7, 365. It's a very quick iterative process. They're constantly looking for scalability or the next thing, and you know, the next thing to make them more decentralized. So our initial adoption phase has kind of already been in the crypto space. So we've got pretty much every single major chain out there runs their infrastructure or part of their infrastructure on Flux. I could list the list, but it's everyone that you could think of. Sans a few that, you know, they're completely centralized running their shit on their stuff on AWS. So, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. We're not really targeting those folks.
Gotcha.
I mean, you're going to see projects like we just deployed Bedrock Minecraft servers, you know, for a fraction of the cost it is for Minecraft deployments. We've got, you know, games front end, back end, UI, UX pieces running. We've got front end servers, back end servers. WordPress is currently in beta and will come out of beta in January of next year. So anyone can deploy a WordPress site with plugins right on Flux. And we have several hundred of them running today. I mean, we've got 45,000 unique applications that are deployed on the platform today. So the adoption curve for us has been like this over the past year or so. So I want to see a product like, you know, let's say an X or somebody like that, or maybe even a Google Bard or something like that using AI overflow. So us using the Flux network as, you know, they have their own data center that they're using for their AI model. But if it reaches peak capacity, Flux is a perfect wetland for that to overflow into. So I think Flux isn't looking to like flip the world upside down in Web2. I think Web2 continues to exist with Web3. And as long as we build that ecosystem with our ethos in mind, I think we provide those products. So, you know, I'd love to see an Airbnb with a DAO model or a company like Airbnb with a DAO model, and I'd love to see, and this is already being worked on, is a decentralized Wikipedia. So there's some huge issues around Wikipedia and their truth models. Project Mayhem, which is the truth model for AI. So everybody's working on scaling AI while Flux is working on the ability to tell whether or not it's AI. So, you know, you have the entire ecosystem going this way and say, how do we scale AI? How do we build it? And Flux is over here saying, well, if you're going to build it, you're going to need a truth model to go with that. So I need to know whether or not that video that I saw on Twitter is a deep fake. So Flux is going to work on that with Project Mayhem. So there's a lot of cool stuff we're doing. You know, proof of use of work obviously is a big one that's coming down the pike. We're already doing it on our node side of the network, and we're going to do it on our GPU side of the network. We'll have 1 million+ GPUs probably going online over the next year and a half that provides AI, edge compute, rendering, all those services to anyone in the marketplace.
Amazing. And you mentioned interoperability there just a little bit. And I would love to just, you know, hear your thoughts on maybe the challenges or the opportunities or what you're doing in that side. That's definitely becoming talked about more and more. And I think it's going to be very important in this current crypto cycle.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think interchain operability is the holy grail of blockchain. We've worked for the past, you know, many years in silos. So we have these projects that may be doing the exact same damn thing, but they're doing it in their silo. And then you get these tribalistics, you know, my token's better than your token, my coin's better than your coin. I think we all win when we start to isolate our features that bring us to the table. So, you know, Google does particular things well. Microsoft does particular things well. All these different platforms do things well. They're not necessarily integrating those things, but those things together make your first version of the internet. And I think the next version of the internet is exactly that. I see, you know, us working with different projects to take their service, and not we're agnostic. We don't care, you know, about your token distributions or anything like that. What we care about is you're developing and delivering rock solid infrastructure. So and that'll help us scale. That'll help us scale overall. Flux has also been very committed with our parallel assets. We have 10 parallel assets. We recently just announced our last one will be the Bitcoin network. And basically that allows Flux to exist in different ecosystems and people to participate in different ecosystems. And I see that overall is the way that blockchain is going to go. So siloing these projects out and being tribalistic about your growth models is not going to get you to the holy lands, right? What it's going to do is it's just going to create more fragmentation. So I see there'll be less forks, less altcoins, more unification, and more development on top of the protocols that already exist. You know, that whole FOMO where somebody, you know, drops a new asset and it pumps and then it goes down again and it stays there in perpetuity. I think they're probably still going to exist to a certain extent because people are always kind of drawn toward those things. But I think what you're going to see is the institutional investors, the mid-tier investors, and the retail investors are going to start wanting actual products that deliver something.
Yeah. And maybe we should even go back, you know, to where a lot of businesses currently are at. I bet millions are not really comfortable buying a crypto token to use your service. You know, going from, you know, the edge of interoperability and all the cool things, you know, us crypto enthusiasts are doing and are aware of, you know, for those that have not even dipped their toe in yet, is there an easier on-ramp for, let's say, a business that just wants to use dollars and utilize your services?
100%. And let me tell you a little history about myself. I've been a chief information officer for the better part of 22 years, right? So I came from the healthcare arena. You know, Flux was really created with, you know, as we started to build out these decentralized models with healthcare in mind, but we ended up disrupting way more than that, which is awesome. But in reality, for me as a chief information officer to sit down and do a fiscal budget, you know, I can't sit there and say, I might need 50,000 Flux. It could be 100,000 Flux. It may be 10,000 Flux. There's no variable there. So being able to tie this back to a fiat currency is unbelievably important. And we need to make this on-ramp, this onboarding process feel almost like the Web2 interface. So whether you're using PayPal or Cash App or Bitcoin or Flux or, you know, crypto.com or Coinbase, Stripe, whatever it is. We need to be able to have those people on board. So what we did was we built a decentralized engine that runs in the background and actually allows you to pay in fiat and settles immediately into Flux. So what that does is that creates both a passive market making model, which allows, basically ongoing, price structure for Flux, keeps it consistent. And it also allows people to participate and budget for whatever they need to. So we're not looking to flip the prices up. We want to keep it unbelievably cheap with our kind of Linux distribution model. But we know for this to be enterprise, it needs to be unbelievably easy to use. And we're there now. So we've instituted it on our WordPress deployments. We'll work in our Flux Drive and Flux Drive Pro. And now we're working on doing it for deployments as well.
And you've mentioned some big partners. Thank you. And you've mentioned, some different partners and your thousands of nodes globally. But what are some other metrics that, listeners could use to truly understand how big your network has become?
Yeah, I'd say check out the dashboard. If you head over to runonflux.io, there's a dashboard on there. It's unbelievable, some of the metrics, 13,000 plus nodes. petabytes of hard drive space and RAM, virtual or regular RAM. We have Fractus nodes that now allow people to participate with storage as well. The numbers speak for themselves. Right now, Litecoin does about 105,000, 110,000 transactions. Flux has passed that a long time ago. So, Flux is actually probably the number two most utilized in terms of transactional volume and deployment models in the Bitcoin fork family, right? Because essentially Flux is a Bitcoin fork, it's actually a fork of Zcash, but then we removed the privacy pieces. So we didn't go from Genesis. We went from where Zcash did it, but essentially the same thing. Those metrics are there. We've got a very vibrant, engaged community. And the one thing about Flux is these are folks that are in the community, they're technologists. We don't have a lot of speculators. We don't have a lot of people out there, when moon, or we call them the moon boys, right? They understand the value add. And this is why I think Flux is completely different from other projects in the blockchain space. Is other projects will tell you they're a blockchain project that is developing a technology. Flux is a technology company. It happens to have a blockchain. It's completely different. And that model and how we approach that is completely different.
So what is your team working on now or planning for the future?
Well, you came at this interview came at the perfect time because we're ramping up for some heavy hitters. We recently released Flux Drive Pro, which allows, NFT storage tied to the blockchain. So we're going to use Flux IPFS tied to a blockchain. So people don't depend on centralized infrastructure to hold their assets, which is a huge thing. We are in the process of December the 15th, releasing our first version of proof of use of work. That's going to be huge. You'll be able to do AI. You'll be able to do rendering, mining, everything from one platform, which is pretty amazing as well. We just released news about SSP wallet, which is the first of its kind multi-factor authentication wallet. It's like no other. It's going to change how we view hardware wallets and warm wallets, cold wallets. So SSP is going to be huge. And we also announced that Zelcore, which is our multi-asset platform, is becoming core, and it will be tied directly to proof of use of work. So you're going to see all the proof of work coins that are mineable lining up directly inside of a proof of use of work, because proof of use of work isn't just for Flux. It's for every proof of work project in existence. So, you'll be able to mine Casca or, a KDA, and you'll be able to mine it directly and proof of use work get paid out in Flux. So it's kind of unique how we're doing it, because we want to make sure that we support all these ecosystems that are developing on top of proof of work. And proof of use work is a product that'll do just that.
Amazing. So it seems the crypto markets are starting to get exciting again. I also just wanted to ask if you're watching anything closely as we head into 2024.
I am. I think the regulatory space is still very green. So I wouldn't get the cart in front of the horse here. These are nice. It's nice to see some action, some attention come back in. And I think with an ETF and the correct regulatory guidance, The approval of an ETF would, to me, signal the U.S. finally relaxing some of the stance on development. You're going to see, I think you'll see an influx back to the U.S. For development. Everybody wants to be in the U.S. That's just the way it is. You know, even influx of the parent company of the co-founders, it's a UK-based company because they're much more favorable for regulatory pieces and whatnot. But we'd love to be in the U.S. That's where... So I think what you're going to see is a lot of products leave the U.S., develop their products, continue to keep iterating, continue to keep building, and then you're going to see this natural influx back in again. And what that does is that that ETF will open up the floodgates, so to speak, for products that are actually delivering a truly useful case. And I mean, that's few and far between. If you look at the top 200 projects out there, I could pick out maybe five of them that are doing something unique and actually bringing a value add back to the infrastructure. So I think you're going to see that. I think there'll be some, you know, with the elections coming up in the U.S. and the, you know, crypto's global. It doesn't revolve around the U.S., but the U.S. tends to set the pace for regulatory components. So I think as we start to see a change in the office, whether we have a Joe Biden scenario or, you know, whoever the Democratic nominee is versus, you know, a Donald Trump versus, you know, whoever else. I like Vivek personally, but they're, you know, and even RFK. I mean, these are the majority of those candidates are all in some way, shape or form, except for Biden and his regime, looking to harness the blockchain. And I think that that's going to be a huge win for us. So I think that me going into next year, I'm watching valid products deliver their infrastructure. You have a very short period of time to deliver in this bear market yet. So you better be ready to roll. And that's why we're deploying a lot of our stuff here in the last quarter of this year. I think you're going to see some regulatory guidance, whether it comes from Congress or whether it comes from, you know, an executive order coming out of Biden's office. I think you're going to see at least something. And I think you'll see an ETF approval. I don't know if it'll happen this year. I think there'll be a change with Gary Gensler and that crew. And I think that could definitely usher in, you know, a more expedited adoption model. So I think the all eyes are on the U.S. at this point. If we want this thing to happen, we need U.S. input. So that's where we're at, I believe.
Makes sense to me. So as we wrap this up, what are some ways people can learn more about Flux and keep updated with the latest?
You can come check us out online, runonflux.io. We have a pretty huge following on what used to be Twitter X, which is at runonflux. You can, if you want to hear the rantings of a madman from time to time, at @DAK_flux, that's me. And yeah, just come check us out. Discord is a great place to go to get questions answered. If you're hearing this for the first time and you're learning about Flux for the first time, you're going to sit there and pause for a couple minutes. You're going to turn this off and you're going to go do what you're normally doing. And at some point you're going to say, wait a minute, that makes sense. And it's that epiphany or that aha moment you had, like when the very first time you discovered Bitcoin, right? You fell down the rabbit hole. So if you want to fall down the rabbit hole, you have questions, come visit us on Discord. You can find that on our website as well. And we'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Daniel. It's amazing to see so much innovation taking place and, you know, just the growing number of new possibilities. I look forward to seeing more unfold for you all.
Oh, awesome. And thanks again, man, for having me on. Like I said, love what you guys do. And, you know, looking forward to doing it again sometime.